The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 13, beginning at the 24th verse. Glory to Jesus Christ. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burnt, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burnt up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, may the words that come from my mouth be inspired by your Holy Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks, David. That was one parable, wasn't it? There's a lot in the parable of the wheat and the weeds. In fact, I think I'd prefer to go to creche and learn what the kids have to say about it than try and make sense of it for you. But I joked to Marianne this morning that the parable of the seeds that she preached on last week is the parable you want to preach on, and the parable of the seeds this week is the parable that you may not want to preach on, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of joy and comfort in these words, does there? I'd like to consider this part of what I'd say are Jesus' uncomfortable teachings. It speaks of spiritual warfare, end times, and fiery judgment. And it's all based around what seems to be quite a confusing premise, that we should leave the weeds where they are. Like most of the parables, there's a lot of different directions that you can go and different interpretations you can make. Some more helpful than others sometimes. And while the battle of good and evil and end times judgments, they are important scriptural themes, and they are certainly some of the threads that you could pull on with this parable, I'm not sure that they're actually helpful to pull on at this point, because I'm not sure that's the main theme of this parable. And there's a much more pressing question that I find emerging out of this parable. And that is, why are we left in the weeds? We've just returned from the wine-growing regions of the Mornington Peninsula and Margaret River, each area with rows and rows of carefully placed, manicured, and tended grapevines. So after seeing those and after years living in and around the Hunter Valley, I perfectly understand the enthusiasm of the workers as they approach the landowner and say, hey, do you want us to go and gather all and get rid of all these weeds straight away? You're trying to grow one type of crop, and someone comes along and maliciously plants weeds. You don't want the weeds ruining your crop or stealing the nutrients that it needs. So once you realize that there's weeds, you get rid of them straight away, don't you? Well, not if Jesus is telling the story. And this story is not as it might first appear. It's not about calling out or standing against obvious evil or injustice, which is, by the way, important. So much so that it's part of the fourth of the five marks of mission of the Anglican Communion, to transform unjust structures, to challenge violence of every kind and pursue peace and reconciliation. And this is part of the mission of the church because it's part of Jesus' teaching and it's a scriptural imperative. But we don't get this from this parable. This parable is not about the obvious. I just want to say a very short word of caution about standing against naming or overcoming obvious evil. We live in a very polarized world at the moment, you may have noticed. And so I think it's a very interesting question, an important question to pose. Is what we think obvious evil and injustice actually evil and injustice? Or is it influenced by who we are listening to, our social media algorithms, or our opinions? But that's another sermon. This parable is not about the obvious, it's about the more subtle. When we think about weeds, we think about the ones that grow up in our lawns or in our veggie patches that stand out as obviously being weeds. They don't belong, you rip them out or you poison them and you get rid of them. But the weeds that Jesus is referring to in this parable are not so easily identified. This sneaky enemy has planted zizania, which in Greek is false grain, which especially in the early stages closely resembles wheat. Do you know which one's the wheat? It's hard, isn't it? In first century Palestine, this parable would have been so much less confusing than it is in southeast Queensland when we consider the weeds in our lawn and our gardens. Because they were familiar with this type of false grain. When we see something that looks out of place or find something that shouldn't be there, most of us would probably instinctively want to get it out of the way or get rid of it. But instead, Jesus says, leave it there. It will get sorted out in the end. And I think this is probably the most uncomfortable part of the teaching in this parable. When it will get sorted out in the end, guess who sorts it out? Well, I should rephrase that. Guess who doesn't sort it out? Us. We're not the ones doing the sorting. It's not our job to point out or pull out the weeds. Because when we do that, we risk the wheat. We've actually skipped over a couple of parables in the passage that David read for us. And they're familiar parables, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. Both sort of act like an explanation, if you like, of what this parable is saying as well. That what we might think is easy to do, identify what's good seed, is actually a lot harder than what we think it is. Which makes me wonder how many times throughout church history, and particularly in recent times, have well-meaning, zealous Christians pointing out the weeds in the world and in others actually led to a sense of unreceptiveness by those who hear the hypocrisy and judgment, those who may have actually been wheat. That's what it means when we risk the wheat by pulling out the weeds. But in the meantime, we're not only left with the weeds, we're left right in the field with them. What is that all about? Although this parable and its agricultural context is somewhat foreign to us in our location and context, it is, and its meaning behind it is so real and raw and relevant to what's going on in our world today. Because we live, some might argue more than ever, with good and bad, constructive and destructive, living side by side. And sometimes it is really hard to work out which side is which. Within each one of us, we possess the potentiality for good and for bad. We possess the potentiality for being constructive, but also being destructive. And that doesn't change when we say we follow Jesus. And that's why we're called not to jump in zealously and point out the weed natures of those around us. How would we like it if, when we've been seen at our worst, our weakest or most vulnerable, and somebody named the weed in us and excluded us from relationship with God? Maybe you've actually experienced that yourself. Unfortunately, it's a story all too common with those who no longer go to church. So why then would we suppose that we could or even would try to help God out by identifying the weeds for God? This is a God job. It's not a church job, and it's definitely not an individual Christian job. Because within each one of us is that potentiality to be a weed. But more importantly, the potentiality to be wheat. But yet, here we remain, in and with the weeds. This parable I found particularly stark after being in WA and Victoria and seeing all those sectioned off fields of grapevines. And as I was reading this parable and bringing that image to mind, it sort of struck me, as important it is to grow grapes this way, and the image of vines and grapes are used throughout Scripture, that's not the image that God wants us to have in mind when we see ourselves in the world. It's a little bit more like this. All over the place. And in the middle there's wheat. Jesus does not want pristine holy huddles representing the mission and the work of the church. History has long shown how destructive it is when groups of people try to separate themselves or segregate others. At some point we see something implode or explode, and the collateral damage is people, wheat. Jesus in John's gospel prays that his followers and names that they are not of the world. But we are absolutely called to be in the world. Weeds and all. I'm sure that I haven't come up with a complete answer to the question, why are we in the weeds? But my by no means exhaustive list might actually get your mind thinking about why we are in the weeds. Here's just a few thoughts that I've come up with. Firstly, staying in the weeds and with the weeds is the most generous position that we can take. It's a grace-filled posture. When we defer the identification and judgment to God, then we are more able to view what is around us with a sense of expectation that we're actually among wheat. A church and a Christian that looks at another with a sense of potentiality and possibility. A church and a Christian that expects that those around them will also be wheat. A church and a Christian that sees the best in another. That church and that Christian reflects the generosity and grace that we have received in abundance through Jesus Christ. Being with and in the weeds also builds character, and it increases our trust and reliance in God. How we handle difficult situations, difficult people, how we deal with the weed times of life when things don't go according to our plans, when they obviously don't go the way that they should, when cruel and unfair and unjust things happen. How we respond, and when we respond with and in reliance and trust in God, all of these times and situations and people will grow and mature our faith and build our character in a way that benefits others. I don't think these things happen as some sort of cosmic fitness class to make sure that we're fit. They happen so that we're prepared to share our story with another and come alongside another who is going through a hard time as well. Thirdly, we are with and in the weeds because we are both trusted and equipped to be there. While being with and in the weeds increases our trust in God, we should have confidence that we are with and in the weeds because God trusts us. That we can handle it because we are equipped with the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because of that, we are strong enough. It doesn't mean that it won't hurt and it won't be hard. And we won't endure hard times and hard things. We absolutely will. But we are trusted and we are equipped and we are strong enough. Fourthly, in the weeds and in the wheat, we're never alone. It might seem by this parable that the image that is projecting is that we're one little strand of wheat surrounded by all these evil weeds around us, strangling us. But that's not the field we're in. When we look around, there is so much wheat. And if we are looking out at that field with the view that we're looking for wheat, not looking for weeds, then it's actually going to be really hard to notice those weeds. They might be there, but we will overcome them because we're around the wheat. Fifthly, we will be distinctive and we will stand out from the weeds. In the closing verse of this section, Jesus says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Wheat does and will stand out, particularly when it's ripe and mature. When we realize that we are called to be where we are, and that is right in the middle of the mess, with all the weeds, when we claim this missional mandate of being in that mess for the benefit of those who are also in the middle of the mess, some of whom might be weeds, but most of whom are wheat. When we defer the judgment on weed identification to God, then people will know us by our love, our generosity, our grace, our character, our community with and reliance on others, and the Holy Spirit's gifts working in and through us. At the very heart of this parable is another uncomfortable teaching: patience. I must admit, it is the least of the spiritual gifts that God's blessed me with, but I think that's got a lot more to do with me than God working in and through me. And it's not just a patience with ourselves as we wait and watch and respond to the wheat, and we die to that desire to play God and try and fix all the things that we think are wrong with the world. It calls us to a deep sense of patience with God. I've got no doubt that when God's looking out onto the field that's full of wheat and weeds, God's not happy about that. It grieves God. But God hasn't called for the harvest yet. There is time, and that there is much to do. And while we might sometimes cry out to God, "God, why don't you do something?" this parable reminds us that God has done something. Firstly, there's the obvious. Jesus has come, forgiven, we are saved, we are chosen. And this is part of the uncomfortable teaching. The other thing that God has done, God has planted us in amongst the weeds. And until Christ comes in glory, that is where we are called to stay. This is the mission field. This is where and how Christ will be known and shown. So let's be generous. Build our character and trust in God. Know that we are trusted, equipped, and strong enough, and that we will never be alone. I pray that we, your people, Lord, we, your church, will be distinctive, and that the harvest will be plentiful as you promise. And I thank you that it is both a joy and it is a comfort to know that you have planted us right where we are for the benefit of others. Amen.